Chaneke ayom tevashener Alustiker afreiliger mitom noch azoiner Alle Nacht und Reil spiele in mir Frische heiße Latkes, es und Aschir Geschwinde zu Kinder Die dänige Lichte lechon Zot ala nisim lot Gott Par dem Nisim und Tanzen, freilich und komm. Sogt alla Nisim, läuft Gott, par dem Nisim und Tanzen, freilich und komm.
Happy Chanukah! This is Lisa Mayer, the Maine Rebbetzin. Our family moved here from New York City about 6 years ago when my husband, Sruli Dresner, became the rabbi of Temple Shalom in Auburn. Rebbetzin means rabbi's wife. We are musicians, and that's Sruli on the accordion. I'd like to share a few Chanukah memories with you, and then my favorite Chanukah song. This first story took place in New Jersey, where we lived for a couple of years inside an old synagogue. Sister Joanne has nothing. The week of Chanukah included a free health fair at our temple in New Jersey, and because I was the rabbi's wife, I had to go. Sister Joanne from the big hospital set the whole thing up as a charity and invited me to do the trifecta: free blood pressure check, free cholesterol check, and free body mass index. As I stepped onto the scale and got my numbers, I let out a curse in Yiddish. Sister Joanne, herself a gesunte woman, if you can say that about a Roman Catholic nun, laughed raucously at my stricken face. "It's an evil scale," she cackled. Sister Joanne wasn't always a nun. She had a husband and a house not too far from our synagogue for 6 months until he died. Joanne went to the church to pray for him while he was sick and continued to pray after he passed. She told me, "I was hearing things in the service that I guess I needed to hear." One thing led to another, and she found herself taking her vows. 3 vows: poverty, chastity, and obedience. My jaw was on the floor. I could maybe do 1 out of 3, and yeah, guess which one? She now lived in a house with 3 other nuns. One was the Mother Superior of her order in the United States, but they are not called Mother Superiors anymore. I, of course, tried to look cosmopolitan, the nice Jewish girl from New York City who basically got her entire knowledge of nuns from watching Maria in The Sound of Music. So Sister Joanne sold her house and gave the money to her family. The house she now shared belonged to the church, and her only closet was a whopping 2 feet by 2 feet. She didn't own the car she drove to work every day, and her salary was direct deposited to the church. She got health benefits from the big hospital. She also got an allowance, and my jaw dropped again when she told me, $75 a month. A month. A month. It's hard when you want to buy a present for someone, she told me. You really have to learn to save up. $75 a month? And she's thinking about presents for other people? I told her I wasn't rich myself, but if she ever needed anything, ever, she should come to me. She laughed her happy, raucous laugh. "I don't need anything," she said. That night, I told my husband Sruli, the rabbi, all about Sister Joanne. I couldn't stop. He looked at me and smiled. "You can use it for your study and discussion this week." We studied Pirkei Avot, the ethics of the fathers, at the temple every Friday night during services. The Ethics of the Fathers is a collection of sayings of the ancient rabbis, some from 2,000 years ago. I learned them with my father on Sabbath mornings when I was a little girl, translating from the Hebrew as I smeared a slice of challah with Skippy Super Chunk peanut butter, thereby ensuring my very own future gesunte self. This week we were up to my favorite saying, Marbe nechasim, marbe da'aga. The word nechasim means stuff. Basically, the more stuff you have, the more stuff you have to worry about. Usually, Srili led a lively discussion, but I had asked him if I could take this one. I thought I knew all about nechasim. I had given up a fancy job in advertising and a fancy house in Scarsdale to run around the world playing Jewish music. I sold all my furniture, gave away most of my clothes and my stuff, and Srili and I lived in the basement apartment of his synagogue. But $75 a month. Someday, Sister Joanne will fly easily and lightly up to heaven, unencumbered by nechasim or earthly ties. She will be bathed in the glow of gratitude from thousands of poor people whose lives she made healthier and more bearable. I will be looking up without envy, without self-consciousness, my jaw open in awe. I hope I will be able to hear her raucous laugh through the cacophony as the angels rush to welcome her as one of them. Chanukah is a time of miracles and a time of gratitude. I've recently become a fifth grade teacher at the wonderful Connors School in Lewiston. This story is about when I was in fifth grade myself and how I finally got to thank my teacher. When Miss Maimon leaned forward. I learned Hebrew from a stinky teacher. Her name was Miss Maimon, not Mrs. Maimon, not Ms. Maimon, not even Giveret Maimon at the Yeshiva of Central Queens, a big Jewish day school in New York City. I'm guessing she was in her 30s when I had her in fifth grade. People whispered about her that she wasn't married. She was spiked of hair, gapped of tooth, forward of gait, crinkled of eye, overhung of waist, colossal of bosom, and odoriferous of body. I picture her always in maroon and tan, which, considering she was probably also meager of salary, meant she wore the same clothes a lot. But the stink, full-on stink, it persisted, it persevered, it prevailed. The stink clung to her like a mantle, the opposite of an invisibility cloak. It heralded her arrival a few moments before she actually arrived and allowed her legacy to linger long after she left the classroom to get yet another styrofoam cup of coffee. The stink was legendary. My cousin Judy had had Miss Maimon years before me, and her father, my Uncle Max, remembering, declared, "When Miss Maimon leaned forward, the whole class leaned back." Fifth grade was a big year for me. I got glasses, and I realized that my best friend Tamar was not only prettier than me, which I knew, thinner than me, which I also knew, but smarter than me, too. And she didn't need glasses. She was Miss Maimon's pet. This no one knew until the end of the year, when Miss Maimon was handing out kochavim, stars, for Best in Chumash, Bible, Tamar, kochav, Best in Navi, the Prophets, Tamar, kochav, Best in Dinim, Laws of the Holidays, Tamar, kochav, Best Hebrew Handwriting, Tamar, kochav, Best Davener, Most Pious Person at Morning Prayers, who didn't stand in the back and schmooze like I did, Tamar Kochav. I got the creativity, Kochav, take that, Tamar, and we both got Kochavim stars for the number one most important thing in Miss Maimon's class, speaking Hebrew. Speaking Hebrew didn't mean just answering questions in Hebrew. In Miss Maimon's class, you had to speak Hebrew the entire time, from the second you got there in the morning. You hung up your jacket in Hebrew, you sat at your desk in Hebrew, you went to the bathroom in Hebrew, Beit Shimush in those days. If you spoke to another kid in the hallway, or if you dropped your pencil, Slicha, It was all in Hebrew, till Hebrew was over for the day, and Mrs. Cohen, the English teacher, made her appearance at lunch. The hardest part was morning recess. Fifth grade was the last year my yeshiva was in Jamaica, Queens. The neighborhood was getting scuzzy, and a successful capital campaign had purchased a brand new building in Kew Gardens Hills, the epicenter of Queens Jewry, near Shimon's Kosher Pizza Place, Gift World Judaica, and Brach's Glatt Kosher Emporium. Meantime, we played Ringolivio, running amongst the tall maples and the hunched dealers across the street from school in what the New York Times was calling Needle Park. Ringolivio was a turbocharged game of tag, and it was always banim neged banot, boys against girls, and the biggest thrill was being the last girl uncaught. I still remember taking my hand off base and starting that run to save all the girls in jail and having every single boy in the class start chasing me in Hebrew. Nowadays, teachers would never allow boys to catch and hold girls like that, and certainly not in yeshiva, not even if they spoke Hebrew the whole time. Miss Maimon kept a watchful ear, and at the end of her half of the day, right before lunch, she would go through the entire class, kid by kid, and ask if he or she spoke Hebrew the entire time. It would have been an honor system, but this being fifth grade, there were plenty of snitches. Tamar, of course, was unsnitchable, and usually so was I. But there was one day where I spoke one word, only one word of English, because the boy behind me put something gross down the back of my shirt during class, and I turned around and said one word in English. When my turn to be honest came, I said, Milah, meaning one word. And she made one of those exasperated smiles and gave me the day anyway. That's probably where my creativity star came from. Most of the kids were tov and not ra, good and not bad, except for the time one scientifically minded boy took advantage of Miss Maimon's coffee habit and developed an imperceptible liquid diuretic and managed to slip it in when she was earnestly teaching us about the portable tabernacle that our ancestors schlepped through the Sinai Desert. The whole class held its breath as she finally took a sip of her poisoned coffee and immediately ran out to the Beit Shemush. We waited till the classroom door slammed shut behind her to let go in unhinged ululation, howling and screeching and slapping the heroic scientist on the back and exulting in our triumph. All in Hebrew. Not too ra, not too bad at all. When my boys were in yeshiva, they were way better at prayer than I ever was and learned to lein to chant the Torah with the proper musical cantillations. But they would answer only kain or lo, yes or no, to questions in Hebrew. They never really spoke it. I even tried to instigate a family all-Hebrew Friday night dinner. Ra, mommy, they said. Bad idea. And then, about 30 years after fifth grade, Cerulli and I got hired to play a big Hanukkah concert for the Hebrew school at a fancy synagogue in Manhattan. It was a packed auditorium, and we played klezmer music and sang Hanukkah songs in Yiddish and Hebrew. The concert was almost over when I saw someone familiar in the back of the room. It was too far to get the full sense of her, but it was definitely her. Same spiked hair, same gapped smile, same everything. I finished the song. I held up my hand, and there was quiet. Then I said to all the Hebrew school kids in the audience, slowly, clearly, loudly, and in Hebrew, Happy Hanukkah, banim and banot, boys and girls. If you can understand every word I am saying to you now, it's because you have a fabulous teacher, the same fabulous teacher I had in fifth grade, who really taught me to speak Hebrew and to whom I will be grateful my whole life. I looked at her across the auditorium. Toda Rabbah, I said. Thank you very much. She came up to the stage afterwards and hugged me. Bevakasha, she said, beaming that gap-toothed smile. You're welcome. And, for the life of me, I don't remember smelling anything ra at all.
The great Moshe Osher, a cantor and a Yiddish theater impresario, wrote one Hanukkah song, my favorite. He sings, when the Hanukkah menorah is shining, everybody is my friend. I added a few English words too. Bring mir Bräut und bring mir Wein, will mir alle fröhlich sein. Tra la 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 la. Hab schon lackes Fleisch und Fisch und ein weiß bedeckten Tisch. Allei, la 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 la. Hab de Broche schön gemacht, die bin eure scheinter Pracht. Halla la 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 la. Die mir eure Eis bescheint, alle sind in meine Freund. Halla la 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 la. Drei Dreidle von uns geruten, drei Dreidle zu geruten. Kommt der Woch von Chaneke, sie soll's bei mir geruten. La 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 la. La 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 la. Strike a match and light a fire, every night we'll count it higher. Tra la 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 la. See the warmth in every face, all the hues of the human race. Tra la 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 la. Let the power of the glow make friends of folks you didn't know. Tra la 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 la. When it burns so bright it can banish fear, a great miracle will happen here. Tra la 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 la. Drei dreidlich von uns geruten, drei dreidlich zu geruten. Kommt der Woch von Chaneke, sie soll's bei mir geruten. La 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 la. La 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 la. Kommt der Woch von Chaneke, sie soll's bei mir geruten. Hoi, bring mir Bräut und bring mir Wein, will mir alle fröhlich sein. Tra la 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 la. Hab schon lackes Fleisch und Fisch und ein weiß gedeckten Tisch. Hei la 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 la. Hab de Broche schön gemacht, die mir neuer scheint der Pracht. Hei la 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 la. Die mir neuer Eis bescheint, alle sind in meine Freund. Hei la 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 la. Drei Dreidle von uns geruten, drei Dreidle zu geruten. Kommt der Woch von Chaneke, sie soll's bei mir geruten. La 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 la. La 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 la. Kommt der Woch von Chaneke, sie soll's bei mir geruten.
When I was a little girl, I got presents for all 8 nights of Hanukkah. They weren't all big presents. My favorite was my very own jar of Skippy peanut butter, which my mother presented to me with a big red bow. I also want to thank my mother, Rita Weintraub of New York City, for trying to teach me an early lesson in generosity, as you will hear in this final story. Thanks, Mom. Peaches. I was 8 years old and was standing on the front lawn of my house in Queens, New York, with my little sister, who was 4. We were standing under our favorite tree, a peach tree, a glorious peach tree, bursting and laden and heavy with ripe, fuzzy fruit. Lots of times my sister and I would play together in the middle V of the tree, the shiny green leaves hiding us from all the neighbors. But that day we were both standing under the tree, and we were both crying. Just a few minutes before, an enormous blue car had driven up to our house. Out of the car came our cousin Esty Weissman, who was older than even our mother. We could never figure out exactly how such an old woman could be a cousin and not an aunt. She was at least 40. She had enormous hair, enormous teeth, and enormous bazooms. We had never seen anything like those bazooms. They stood out a few feet in front of her, pointing to different time zones. They were their own wonders of the world, cantilevered miracles. Hello, Cousin Esty Weissman and Cousin Esty Weissman. She did not smile at us. She did not say hello to us. She just stood on the sidewalk, barely out of the car, and stared at the peach tree. Our peach tree. And then Cousin Esty Weissman did something I will never, ever forget. She reached into her pocketbook and pulled out something that looked like a little baggie. She gripped that little baggie in both hands, shook it violently, and fa-foom! That little baggie turned into the most gigantic, yes, enormous bag we had ever seen. And then Cousin Esty Weissman did the other something I will never, ever forget. She started to pick peaches off our tree. 1, 2, 3, 100. And my little sister and I stood watching it all, watching those peaches disappear into that bag, crying. Finally, we could stand it no longer. We turned and ran into the house. Mommy! Mommy! We gulped out our story. Cousin Esty Weissman, here, bazooms, fa-foom, no more peaches. My mother put her arms around us. Was there a hint of a smile there? A smile, definitely. It's okay, she said. Let her take them and enjoy them. What? She lives in an apartment in Brooklyn, and it's exciting for her to pick peaches off a real tree. Yeah, all of them. Next year we'll have lots of peaches again. Yeah, and next year we'll have a visitor from Brooklyn again. My sister and I didn't learn our lesson in generosity that day. We sat and glared at Cousin Esty Weissman as she ate the dinner of fried chicken, coleslaw, and potato salad that my mother bought from Mozone on Main Street and that we had every single Sunday evening, like every other Jewish Orthodox family in our neighborhood. Cousin Esty Weissman's voice was clipped, her eyes sad. Her bazooms remained defiantly upbeat. Eventually, I would learn that Cousin Esty had been suffering from schizophrenia, what we now call severe bipolar disorder, depression, that she'd been in and out of hospitals, that nothing worked, nothing brought her out of it. It had been going on for years and years. Her three children and her husband, who was actually a pretty jolly guy, didn't talk about it. They were very frum, very religious, so these kinds of things back in those days were a shanda, a bit of a disgrace, and not to be mentioned. Mama is sick, they would say, and that was that. The years went by with many more Mozone Sunday night dinners, and although the rest of her family often came, she did not. The last time I saw her was at her son Abner's wedding. Abner was getting married, at 45, and to an old high school friend of mine. Her son was finally getting married, and she was finally getting some nachas, some delight from him. It was the first time I ever saw her smile. Just a slight lift of the corners of her upper lip, but a smile, definitely. She died about a year later. Cousin Esty Weissman, I want you to know that I still think about you and about all the things I didn't understand when I was 8 years old and childish with selfishness. I want you to know that I try really hard to be generous now. I want you to know that the very first week I moved to Maine, our wonderful congregation gave me a gift certificate to a garden center, and I bought a peach tree, and I planted it right in front of my new house. I want you to know that the crows ate every single one of my peaches last year. They must have flown up from Brooklyn. But most of all, I want you to know that you have a little more nachas, a little more delight. Right before Hanukkah, your son Abner and my high school friend finally had a baby boy. I wish you could see him. He has big blue eyes, he smiles a lot, and you'd love his little tuft of hair. It's reddish orange. It looks exactly like peach fuzz. I want to thank Maine Poet Laureate Stuart Kestenbaum and thank Charles Beck and Susan Tran from Maine Public Radio and wish them and all of you listeners a healthy and happy holiday season. And a big shout out to Temple Shalom in Auburn and the Jewish community of Maine. Happy Hanukkah! Hoy Chanukah, oh Chanukah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the hora. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with and latkes to eat. And while we are dancing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they will shed their sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they will shed their sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Chanukah, oy Chanukah, ayom tevashener, alustiker afreidecher nidon noch hazoiner, alle nachten dreidel spielen mir. Frische heiße Latkes, es und aschir, geschwinder, zin kinder, die dinnige Lichte lechon. Sogt alla nisim, leut Gott, far dem nisim und tanzen, frelach und kon. Sogt alla nisim, leut Gott, far dem nisim und tanzen, frelach und kon. Yimei ha-Chanukah, Chanukah mikdashenu, begilu v'simcha mimalim et libenu, laila v'yom svivotenu nisov, suf ganiyot nochal gam larov, ha'iru hadliku, yimei ha-Chanukah rahabim.